With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, so I don't want to give any spoilers here, but I watched The Whale last night.
Okay.
And I thought The Whale was called The Whale because the guy, Brendan Fraser, is 600 pounds. And I thought, well, that's a very cruelly named movie. But I think that's part of it because it's all about him being morbidly obese.
Yeah.
But it's also about him trying to reform a relationship with his daughter. And but it's also about he's a literature teacher. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he likes to talk about is Moby Dick.
Okay.
Which is about a
whale.
About a whale. So I don't want to give any spoilers, but I realize that if I talk about it at all, it'll give spoilers. But that movie was a thinker because it makes you think. And what's interesting is it all takes place inside his apartment, except for a couple of flashbacks where they're at the beach. It all takes place at his apartment.
I've seen like one clip scene from the movie, and I can't remember why I saw it. Maybe it was for an award season thing, but his daughter, who's played by Sadie Sink, she comes in. She doesn't want to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't like him, and he's telling her he'll give her money if he like if she like hangs out with him, basically.
Yeah.
And that's like the only scene I've seen, so I knew it was – I knew he was a teacher. I knew he was obese. I didn't know anything about the Moby Dick part. And I knew he was obviously trying to rebuild a relationship with his daughter. And that was at least some part of the movie. That's all I know about the movie.
Yeah, it's really interesting because he has money that he wants to give to his daughter. And why he's insisting on giving the money to his daughter is really touching. And he's such a lovable, sympathetic, frustrating character. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we'll talk. We've talked enough about The Whale, but I want to say it was really good. So let's move on to the emails here today. Let's see what we got.
Okay.
Dave and Fallon just wanted to share this weekend as I was driving, the song The Devil Went Down to Georgia was playing. First thought in my head was Dave describing how this is his sexin' song.
Oh, yeah.
And counting the rhythm to the completion. Yes, I'm a longtime listener. Back to Pat and Lee days. That is all. Happy Monday, Joe. Thank you. I think that started 10, 15 years ago.
It was with Lena, so probably. Probably 15.
Can you talk for a minute? I got to get some water.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't have any emails in front of me, so I can't read any of those. But I know that that happened with Lena because it happened before me. And I think someone else has referenced it. But yes, you've done it since, obviously, because I have heard it.
Okay. I got, you know, I just had a Kind bar a minute ago and a nut lodged in my throat. Lodged in my throat.
Yep, that's the worst.
All right, next one. Hello, BFFs. Don't say my name. What is happening to Minnesota public schools right now? First free public school lunch, now free menstrual productions in every, I think they mean products, in every Minnesota public school bathroom. Not only women's bathrooms, all restrooms. The bill is not passed yet, but probably will. Am I crazy? Or why can't parents be responsible for their own children? How are children anyone else's responsibility but the people who created them? I just don't get it. Love you guys and have a great weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone agrees that it's ridiculous, but in the reality of our world, clearly there are plenty of people having children they cannot support or take care of. So for me, I feel terrible for those kids, and I am thankful that they've been dealt, it seems, a crap hand, so I'm thankful that they're able to get a lunch and get the much-needed feminine products that they probably wouldn't get, I guess. And feminine products are really expensive. I mean, I think I get that guys don't, like, get that, and it really does suck. I mean, it's one of those things that, like, we have to pay for, and I would feel really bad for young girls if they're parents aren't around or not financially helping them. Should it be our responsibility? No. I don't think anyone thinks it should be. Like, it's just like we say if you go to a restaurant, you can't afford to eat there if you don't tip. But unfortunately, it's not going to stop people from having kids.
Well, I think that's the thing. Do you think that irresponsible parenting and irresponsible living and irresponsible birth control would be abated somewhat if there wasn't such a wide safety net? So in other words, I'm just being philosophical. I'm not arguing for it. I'm just being philosophical that if there wasn't such a wide, it's kind of like if you're easy on crime, people are more likely to commit crime than they would be if you were hard on crime. In other words, you could make the philosophical argument that if they were harder on criminals that are carjacking and beating up women in downtown Minneapolis, that there wouldn't be so much crime. That's how they cleaned up Times Square. Times Square used to be like porno, drugs, and just awful. Then in the late 80s or so, they came in and they cleaned it up because they were harder on crime. So you could say if you were harder on parents that were irresponsible with birth control, with their money, with whatever, with drugs and alcohol, then maybe they wouldn't have kids that the state or other taxpayers would have to fight. To take care of. Again, I'm not arguing for it. No. I'm just saying philosophically.
I think the difference is that at the end of the day, even if they were harder on those parents, the people that still suffer are the kids. So that's the difference. Like, yeah, like criminals, they argue that, but it's like, that's the thing that sucks. It's so unfortunate that they were born into, I mean, maybe you're listening right now and you were born into a shitty situation. It's awful. That's so unfair to you. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. I think that the problem is even if there were far more serious, things to happen to these parents that are irresponsibly having children, it's still the kids that would suffer at the end of the day.
What if it cost half of your tax dollars to take care of somebody else's kids? And what if the tax burden was so great to take care of somebody else's kids that it took half of your tax dollars? Would
it
still be fair?
The same amount of taxes I'm already paying, but half of it went to kids, you're saying?
Or let's say, let's just say that the tax burden because of taking care of somebody else's kids was so great that they, let's say, doubled your tax. Because now you're paying double your tax because would you still feel the same way? Like, now I have to really affect my lifestyle because of these kids that are not my kids.
Sure. Yeah. That would be very frustrating. Right now, as far as I know, it's not affecting our tax dollars. As far as my understanding is, that is not affecting our tax dollars.
Well, it absolutely does. No, it absolutely does. I mean, free lunches don't come from nowhere.
I thought
free lunches are paid for by tax dollars.
Right. But it's not more is coming from us.
No.
It's
I'm just saying, would there be a tipping point?
Sure, I'm sure there's a tipping point on anything. Right now, I pay an absurd amount of taxes as it is. Almost 50% of my paycheck goes to, taxes. It sucks. But I think of all the things I'm paying taxes for, sure, making sure a kid eats would probably be the one that I would be most supportive of.
I would think that we'd all be surprised at the things we are paying taxes for.
Oh, I'm sure,
because I am a fiscal conservative, and I don't like all of these just government run wild programs to do this and this and this and this and this. And a lot of it has been proven to be wasteful. But I don't want to look at where all of my tax dollars are going. And I don't live in Minneapolis, so they're going to be different because I live in Chanhassen, but I do live in Minnesota and I do live in the United States. So can I tell you this one? We never get a tax refund. We never, ever get a tax refund. This year we are, because everything that we invested in, like mutual funds, all took a big shit this year.
Yeah.
So for the first time in my memory, I'm getting a tax refund.
Yeah.
And I said, Susan, we're going to get a brand new motorcycle.
Don't you already have like five? Why would you want a new motorcycle?
I don't know.
Would you get rid of an old one if you got a new one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Oh.
All right. Next one.
How do you
one.
Have space for them? That's my question.
We're running out of space.
Yeah.
She goes on to say, am I crazy or why can't parents be responsible for their own children? How come children are anybody else's responsibility? I just don't get it. Okay. Anyway, I think we read all of that one. Next one, guys, question for you. You're talking about food habits in Minnesota. When we were visiting from Canada and ate at a bar and grill in the area, my wife ordered her usual gravy on the side to dip her fries into. Well, this blew the waitress's mind, and after much explaining that this was a normal thing in Canada, the lady still could not wrap her mind around it and kept telling us, they don't have mashed potatoes as a side. Finally, we have up and asked, okay, what do you dip fries into? The waitress recommended ranch or mayonnaise, which made me puke in my mouth. But when in Rome, right? So my wife ordered it, said it was fantastic. So maybe you guys are onto something. Do you guys seriously not know of dipping fries in gravy, or is that a Canadian thing? That's from Todd. I think they call it poutine.
Yeah. But it's not regular.
No, it's not a thing here.
You don't
it's up north.
Arby's, yeah, and get a side of poutine or gravy. Yeah. So it's definitely not a normal thing here. Also, most places don't really offer you a side of mayonnaise. Ranches, I mean, mayonnaise is something people do dip their fries in. I remember kids in school doing that, like with their lunches at school lunch. But it's not
in
like
mayonnaise?
But that's not like a common thing I think people ask for either. Ranch is common at places because most places just by default have ranch for salads or whatever. So it's an easy thing to ask for as a side.
Okay.
But yeah, in America, it's mostly ketchup.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if I think about it, I would probably get some ranch or mayo, but I'm fine with ketchup. Next one says, Dave, could you please explain what you meant by fake violin players on the show on Thursday? I don't live in the Twin Cities and I have never heard of this. Thanks from Jim. Fake violin players are basically scammers who are begging for money, but instead of just holding up a cardboard sign and holding a dirty kid by the hand and begging for money, or with a fake veteran sign, they have an electronically amplified violin with a speaker and they pretend to play it. And when you first see it, it looks very realistic. And then you find out they're fake and they're just playing along to recording. And it was sweeping through here last summer or the summer before. And so we really tried to get the word out that they're fake. If you want to still donate to them, whatever you want to do. But yeah, they're fake. They stand on a corner. They are not really playing, but people think they are. So
yeah.
Whatever.
Brilliant plan. I mean, it really is innovative.
This is an interesting one looking for an opinion.
Okay.
Longtime listener. Love the show. I'll get right to it. My niece is having a first communion. They asked me to be the godmother. They're originally from Mexico and have first communion godmothers there. I was very honored to be asked. They don't have a lot of money, so it was a nice gesture. I offered to buy my niece her dress. I sent a few online options and said it would also take her. I would also take her to stores to find a dress. The options I sent were about $70 to $100 for some very pretty dresses. To my surprise, her mom, my sister-in-law, responded by saying they had found one for $400. I told her that's out of my price range. I said, keep looking. The response I got was they want to get a dress to make her happy, and they would be grateful if I would contribute $100 toward the dress, which is what they were going to pay anyway. I feel they're being too indulgent for a dress she will wear for a few hours, and they're not even practicing Catholics. In addition, they asked me to borrow $100 to pay for the communion classes back in the fall and never paid me back. They're always complaining about their money problems, yet they want to spend all this money on a dress. Am I wrong for feeling hurt by this? No. I feel like I am now the bad guy. You're not. How should I respond? I don't know. Should I suck it up and pay for the dress? Yes, this is really bothering me. Would love your opinions. Signed, Annoyed Auntie. You will, your entire life, run into people who are always out of money and are very bad with money. They will have money for nights out. They will have money for a cruise. They will have money for a trip to Jamaica. They won't have money for a furnace. They won't have money for medical insurance, but they will have money for a tattoo.
Yeah.
You will, your entire life, run into people who never have money, but are very bad with money. The only solution, you got to make a choice. Do you help them financially or do you not? I help. Donna is always bad with money. She's always been bad with money. She always was. When I was a kid, my dad and her used to argue because she would overextend herself and get into debt, and then he would help her pay it off, and she would immediately go back into debt.
Yeah.
She will always be bad with money. Your friends, your relatives, your sister-in-law will always be bad with money.
Yep.
You have a choice whether to pay for shit or to say, you know what? I'm a little tight this month.
You give them the $100 like you were already going to do.
Do that and then be done.
And then be done with, like, don't even have your feelings of being annoyed or upset, because why wouldn't you be? It's frustrating to watch people do that, but just give them the money that you were going to. And I would say, just assume you're never getting the $100 for communion back.
No.
Because they clearly are hoping you forgot. So unless you want to have the awkward conversation of bringing that up, then they are either purposely forgetting or truly have forgotten.
I think in my book I say if they don't have $100 now for their communion or whatever, their chance of having an abundance of money in the future to pay you is very small.
Mm-hmm.
Next one. It says, I was listening to Thursday's podcast. You're talking about taking long showers. First, I am a person that takes long showers as an adult. That is because, like Dave, we had four girls plus my parents in our home, so we had to be fast or we'd run out of water. So when they were growing up. As an adult, I'm a solo mom, so it is my relaxing time and because I can. Second, during this convo, I heard Dave say one of my pet peeves. Hot water heater. It's a water heater. The water doesn't go in hot. Other pet peeves include people who say itch when they are scratching.
I think I do that.
The itch is the feeling, not the action. Another is unthaw when they take something out of the freezer. That would mean refreezing the item. So what are some of your pet peeves people say? Thanks for making me laugh on the daily. That's from Judy. I would say espresso and nuclear, because it's nuclear and espresso.
Things that stick out to me are not even like necessarily words like that. They're like the double negatives always stand out very. Yep. They really stick out to me. They bother me. And I think most people do them on accident or when words are used in the wrong tense. Like my friend Abby will say, like, we ate. And I'm like, we did not ate. Let me explain it. Okay, because we can say we ate. I'm trying to think of an example of how she... It's using the wrong tense for certain words. And I love my friend Abby, but she does it sometimes. And I'll be like, oh. And I can't think of an example now because my
That's
brain
right.
is dead.
Maybe
but
it'll come to you later.
Saying, yeah.
SNL did an amazing skit on the expectations of a bridesmaid. I think it really brings into perspective on what it feels like to be a bridesmaid. Question, what was the most... estimated you spent on being a bridesmaid or in a wedding, and did you feel it was worth it?
I said we should do this on the show because I think our mind will be blown with the amount of money.
I'm going to forward it to Jenny then.
Okay.
You got it? Okay, good. We'll do that on the show. So thank you for that one. I have no idea. This is a really long email.
She has lots of different topics throughout the email.
Friends, first, I highly recommend Atomic Habits by James Clear, a life-changing book that will change your mindset into becoming the person you want to be.
This one's about being healthy. Sorry, there are two different ones. One email, I'm confusing with hers. She broke down tons of different habits from listening for the full week. This one is her tips on how to like change and be healthier. And kind of the summary was like reading that book that you mentioned and stop focusing on what you can't have and start focusing what you can add. I can add 100 like ounces of water to my day. I can add 30 minutes of walking to my day, and like changing your mindset in that way.
Okay.
It's kind of the summary. I'm
going to save it and maybe we'll devote an entire Minnesota goodbye to that.
Yeah, it was, I actually thought it was, she had really good points that were, I think could be really motivational for people, because I think she said she's shared this all with her parents and it's changed them too.
Okay. I'm going to save it and see if we can get back to it possibly tomorrow. But I'm going to have to pre-read it first because it is very long and I don't want people to drift away as we're reading. Because I think people drift away during long emails. You know what I mean? And I don't want people to drift away. So we'll see what happens. Please don't say my name. Longtime listener, first time emailing. I've been having frustrations with my family, and I'm hoping to send this email will get a few things off my chest. I'm 28 years old, married, just had my first baby, and I have one brother that is a few years younger than me. My parents are married, live in the same town that I do. Great relationship with my mom. She's my rock, and I've always been very close to her. I do not have a good relationship with my dad. He is a narcissist and alcoholic and emotionally and verbally abusive to my mom, myself, and my brother. My dad did not have a stable family life growing up, which I feel truly had an impact on how he has turned out as an adult. There were many incidents between him and the rest of my family, which has resulted in me and my brother basically wanting nothing to do with him. However, because my dad is a narcissist, if you asked him how his relationship with his kids are, he would say everything's great. My mom enables his behaviors and tends to play along with the everything is great illusion. There is much more that has created this family dynamic, but I don't want to get into everything because I really want some advice and don't want the email too long to use on the podcast. So I'm wondering if there's other people out there in similar situations. If so, how do you navigate maintaining a relationship with one parent and not the other? This sounds so bad, but I've always wanted my parents to get a divorce, so it'd be easier to have a relationship with just my mom. But since they're married and live together, I can't really avoid my dad fully. I don't want to be around him. I'm so tense and on edge when he's around. I can easily say that I hate being in the presence of my dad. It's sad that this is how things have turned out, but because of years of his abusive behaviors and never owning up to his actions, now that I am a mom, I have the big responsibility of protecting my own family and don't want my child to ever witness the things that I have seen my dad do and say. Thank you for reading this, and thanks for any advice you may have. Love you guys. I will only say I don't know. My mom and dad were fine. I don't have any advice for you. Do you have any advice for her at all?
I mean, I guess probably not, because my parents did split up when I was younger. I think I probably would have felt the same way. I don't remember how my dad interacted with my mom. Obviously not great, because I know how my dad is now and with people he's been with since. And I don't think he's ever been a great partner to someone else.
If you don't have anything, that's
okay. I don't think so. I feel so bad that you dealt with this. I feel so bad for people that have to deal with parents that have made them feel this way. But it really, you're right, it really changes when you have a kid. There are certain things I will do not want my kid around. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I don't think I would. Yeah, I won't get into full things, but yeah.
Jenny, any thoughts on that?
No, I don't. Because like Fallon, my parents got a divorce. And so, I mean, my dad was like not mean. He was a little bit meaner than what my mom was. And that like, and I grew up being like pretty angry at my dad for a little while because of like the way he handled their fights. But then like him, when they were divorced, he was a different person.
I'm curious if you've had deep conversations like about this with your mom, like, because some moms in that position, and it sounds like maybe yours, would also act like it's, oh, it's not a big deal. He gets a certain way, blah, 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 and brush it off, where it sounds like you and your brother have talked about this. I wonder, have you had real discussions with your mom? Your mom's not going to do anything, clearly. Your mom's
no,
not
she
gonna,
goes,
like,
she plays along. It says mom plays along with it, too. I don't know. I mean, I don't have any advice for you. So that's where we look to you. It's kind of like a group therapy on the podcast. Mm-hmm. If you have any ideas, I'll reiterate to say I feel bad for people who have bad relationships with their parents, because those are the two people in the world that you should just always be able to count on. And to have a narcissistic asshole for a dad that you don't even want to be around to the point you wish they'd get a divorce. God, I'm so sorry about that. That is just awful. Okay, if you had a sandwich named after you, what would the sandwich entail? Mine would be called the Kaylee, be a toasted brioche bun with shredded smoked pulled pork, pineapple slaw, and a drizzle of barbecue sauce.
Shit. Hit me in the face with that. Yes, that sounds great.
Mine would be instead of the Reuben or the Rachel, it would be the Ryan.
Oh.
And it would be roast beef on a pumpernickel bun, I'll make it a bun. And a lot of Thousand Island dressing. So it's not turkey. It's not corned beef. It is the Ryan. And then I would also have an olive on a toothpick stuck through the top of it.
Yeah.
Just to give it that certain signature.
A flair, if you will.
Flair. Yeah. What about you?
Well, I feel like everything I like is already created. So let's just combine my two favorite sandwiches.
Yep.
I love a chicken salad. It has to be the kind with like grapes and celery kind of vibe. Maybe some cashews. I don't know. And then my top favorite sandwich is a BLT. So I'm going to combine the two, and the mayonnaise is going to be like, kind of like an aioli mayonnaise. And instead of just like your regular bread, it will be a croissant bread.
Okay. What about a PBBLT? Peanut butter, bacon, lettuce, tomato.
Yeah.
PBBLT.
I think I'd eat that.
Would you eat that?
Probably.
Okay, good. I think we're hungry right now. Anything sounds good.
I would, yeah. Jenny, do you have one?
I would say it would be called the Juicy Jenny, and it would be loaded with a lot of mayo and turkey breast and almost any kind of cheese you could put on there. Your American, your cheddar, your white cheddar, your Gouda. I want all the cheese on there.
Sounds like the drippiest, messiest sandwich ever.
That's why it's called the Juicy Jenny.
Are you putting the mayo between each layer of cheese?
No, don't be ridiculous.
But if you did one brick of cheese, that would be not very juicy. It'd be dry, actually. But if you put too much mayo between the cheese slices, they'd slide everywhere.
But it's going to be a little melted, toasty one. So that's where it gets a little juicier because the cheese is going to melt. And then we put spinach on it.
Oh,
and then probably some banana peppers.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, I do like banana peppers.
Have a dip? Because sometimes, like with hot sandwiches, you dip them in something.
It may be like a chipotle mayo. Okay. But then it's like mayo on mayo. So I don't know. I got to rethink that part.
Okay.
All right. Dave, I know you were heavily involved with Boy Scouts with Carson. Did Allison ever get involved with Girl Scouts? Briefly, she was a brownie. I don't think they call them brownies anymore, but she did it for a couple of years, and she never got as far as to, like, go camping or adventuring with them. So, no, not really. Question, what do you do when you don't like your grandma, but you feel like you need to invite her to family functions at your house? Background, she's sexist, only ever praises grandsons, never granddaughters. She always belittles my mom in front of everybody, her weight, how she spends her money, who she spends her time with. My mom is so used to it, she doesn't even recognize it anymore. Last Christmas, my sister called her out on it. 10 minutes later, my grandma was back to belittling my mom. I called her out and said if she can't say anything nice, she can leave. She attempted to cause a scene by leaving, then asked if she could stay if she didn't talk.
Oh, my God.
I told her she's welcome to stay. She can talk. Stop being negative around everybody, especially my mom. I haven't talked to my grandma since Christmas, and this weekend is Easter. Eek. I told mom to invite grandma, but if there's drama, she's no longer invited. I could see grandma not coming because I personally didn't invite her. Thoughts? Update. She turned down the invitation because I never call or visit her. Okay. Again, sorry you got a shit relative in your life. Leave her out. You know what? She deserves it.
I was going to say, you probably feel guilty about it, though. And that's the thing that sucks. You shouldn't feel guilty about it because you shouldn't.
The only thing is, you got to figure that grandma had some sort of abusive parent situation when she was little, because Susan had good parents. Julie had good parents. Julie was a bit of a bully, but I'm trying to think of the people that I know that it comes from your parents. I think a lot of the time, if your parents got that shit, then you get it too. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah,
it does. I always think it's interesting because, like, my mom and her brother are so different from my grandma, and their dad wasn't really necessarily in the picture. So I just think that's interesting. I don't feel like they're like my grandma at all.
Okay. Well, you think of somebody like Oprah, who had just a shit childhood, but turned out to be a remarkable, if flawed, human being. Mm-hmm. I don't think Oprah's perfect by any means.
No.
But I think that Oprah didn't let all of the things that a lot of people let bother them bother them. And it's hard for me to, I'm not judging saying, don't let it bother you.
Yeah.
Your dad used to beat you up. Don't let it bother you. Your dad was a drunk. Don't let it bother you.
Yeah.
I'm only saying it's admirable that there are some people who did go through all that, and Oprah went through some shit.
Yeah.
And she did just fine. Fallon's Big Red. Growing up in Ohio, we would have Red Pop floats, like a root beer float, but with Big Red. So much better. Y'all need to give it a try. Bit idea, have people that listen all over write in with their regional foods, and you guys try them weekly on the air. Could be costly, but would be interesting to listen to. I'm trying to think, in Colorado, they had Rocky Mountain oysters, which were bull testicles, and no thanks.
Yeah.
I can't think of another regional food from Colorado. So
we had Jolly Good Soda in Wisconsin that was like more like the southeast part of Wisconsin, because even like people that were from, I guess, the northwest side hadn't heard of it. And then they brought it back. Like, it went away and they brought it back like 5 years ago.
Yeah, different regions of Kentucky, they have Ale 8 or Ski. And those are two different, like, really popular sodas in different regions of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Last subject, they say. A listener wrote in to say she lives in the country. Her neighbor has 4 hound dogs that bark all day while she's at work. I live in town. My neighbor had 4 hound dogs and about 5 dogs 400 feet away. Yikes. Fallon, think random rummage in the front yard. You know the type. Hoosiers and Buckeyes are closely similar. One summer, I was coming home late from a bartending shift, and the dogs were outside barking up a storm around midnight.
Mm-hmm.
I was ticked because my stepdaughter was home at the time trying to sleep. She told me they'd been out all night keeping her up. My husband was already asleep, so I thought the neighborly thing to do would be go over to their house and kindly ask them to put their dogs in because of the late hour. The lady was drunk and belligerent to me and said, get off my fucking property. I'll call the cops and cite you for trespassing. Now, there's a correlation between drunk, belligerent, stupid, and being an irresponsible pet owner.
Right.
I don't think that I will ever give an irresponsible pet owner credit for being intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
No, I agree. Yeah.
I will give them the benefit of the doubt in the opposite way. I will assume that if you're bad with your pets and let them bark at all hours, you're also kind of a dumb fuck.
Probably. So, yeah, you're probably right.
Needless to say, I did her the favor by calling the cops. Too bad I went out of my way to try to resolve the issue head on, and she wanted to escalate it with the cops. Oh, well, here's to waiting for the housing market to settle so we can move into the country. Dave, how's the new hobby going? Roller skating? It's rollerblading, actually, and I have not tried them on since I bought them.
Soon enough. It's your time.
This week. And that's it for an extended remix of the Minnesota Goodbye. Send your emails to ryanshow@kdwb.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.